I hope you have that testimony, that you can say you have been blessed as well. All the things that we have received in this country and in our lives, we sometimes take for granted. And yet, when we hear about the situation, the conditions around the world, we have so much to be thankful for. We have been blessed as a nation. We've been blessed as a church. I hope that you can testify you've been blessed as an individual Christian. And that's what the Lord has done. It's one of my favorite songs. I appreciate that, ladies. Reminding us of what we have been blessed with. Tuesday, we celebrate our Independence Day. And it is a freedom from another country dictating to our country how we are to operate. That came, we celebrate the 4th of July as the formal day in which the Declaration of Independence was signed by the Continental Congress, July 4th, 1776, 247 years ago, two centuries, two score and 7 years ago. We praise the Lord. You know, they say that about 200 years is the most that any country lasts without falling apart. We made it a little over the 200 years mark, but I tell you, we're knocking at the door trying to fall apart. Amen. And we need to be in prayer for our country. We need to be in prayer for our leaders. We need to be in prayer for each other, as we'll see, that we would be the salt of the earth, that we should be in this land that God has left us, letting our lights shine and to others, that they may see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. We thank the Lord for this freedom, and that freedom, as the song said too, did not come cheap. Millions of lives have been given from the American Revolution to the day to give us and provide and to maintain the freedoms that we enjoy. This freedom extends to individuals. It includes many aspects, among which is our religious freedom, but certainly not limited to that. Freedom to worship as we choose. You know, I don't think any one of us came in this morning with a thought on our mind concerned about our government coming breaking into the doors here and arresting anyone for worshiping today. We thank the Lord for that freedom. Not everyone in the world could do that on Sunday. And we need to not take that for granted. A freedom to worship without fear of not just being arrested, but government influence or mandates on what we can do and how we can do it. But we have the freedoms to be able to meet together. Matter of fact, even though our freedoms are under attack, there are still freedoms and victories that are being won. I don't know if any of you heard this past week, but this past week, the U.S. Supreme Court passed a ruling concerning employers' obligation to provide religious accommodations to their employees, is the way it read. And that had to do, I believe, with a Seventh-day Adventist that said that, you know, concerning his beliefs, he should not work on the Sabbath, on Saturday. And the U.S. Postal Office, I think, didn't honor that, and here it is. Of course, he doesn't work with them anymore, I don't think, but that is stemming from that, and they made that choice, that ruling. So we have a lot to be thankful for still with the freedoms we enjoy and the rules, some of the laws of our land that came out of the Bible and the principles of God's Word, and we thank the Lord for that. The song that was played during the offertory, I believe, Statue of Liberty, I had included the words in my message here I wanted to share with you. And so if you were listening during the offertory as Laura played, in New York Harbor stands a lady with a torch raised to the sky. And all who see her know she stands for liberty for you and me. I'm so proud to be called an American, to be named with the brave and the free. I will honor our flag and our trust in God and the Statue of Liberty. And then it switches and it says, on lonely Golgotha stood a cross, with my Lord raised to the sky. And all who kneel there live forever, as all the saved can testify. I'm so glad to be called a Christian. Are you? Amen. Wait a minute. Are you?
Amen.
Okay. I'm so glad to be called a Christian, to be named with the ransom and whole. As the statue liberates the citizen, so the cross liberates the soul. On the cross the cross is my statue of liberty. It was there that my soul was set free. Unashamed, I'll proclaim that a rugged cross is my statue of liberty. What a great truth that is for us today. I've entitled the message this morning, Our Liberty in Christ. Father, I pray that you would help me to be able to share very clearly the truth of your word, and that it would be something that we would understand and be able to apply to our lives in a great way. We do thank you for the liberties that we have, both as a nation, a citizen. We thank you, Lord, for the freedoms that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray that that would become more and more evident through this message today. And Lord, through it all, may you be glorified again, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to Romans chapter 8. I'll get there momentarily. But it's been said that the Statue of Liberty, spoken of in that song that I just gave you the lyrics, is described as this, and I quote, it says, it is a monumental sculpture that symbolizes freedom throughout the world. Its formal name is Liberty Enlightening the World. The statue depicts a woman escaping the chains of tyranny which lie at her feet. Her right hand holds aloft a burning torch that represents liberty. Her left hand holds a tablet inscribed with the date July 4th, 1776 in Roman numerals, the day that the United States declared its independence. She is wearing flowing robes, and the seven rays of her spiked crown symbolize the seven seas and continents. So we have here this statue as a monument to remind us of our freedom, a memorial, if you will, that is set up there that will remind us of the freedoms that we enjoy. The song spoke of our trust in God, and in God we do trust. It's not just something that's on our money that's stated, but it is something that our forefathers believed. America was formed on the biblical principles of God's word. The laws that were formed originally of the United States came right out of the Word of God because of it. It was by the Word of God that these men knew what was right and what was wrong, and that influenced them in setting up our land and its government and its laws to govern us. And so we praise the Lord for that. In God we do trust. Our trust certainly, it not only should be, but I pray is in the Lord. It is where our forefathers, as I said, learned what was right and what is wrong. You know that is under attack today, what is right and what is wrong. We have people calling what's right wrong and what is wrong right. We have young people today that are growing up that are confused by what they see. Some of them to the point that they are considering suicide in our nation and a growing rate. And it concerns us, it should concern each one of us, that we're living in a land that is getting so mixed up that people don't know even what a girl is or a boy is. And it is important for us as parents to be able to communicate that properly to our children, not of what our opinion is, but what does God say in His Word? God made man.
Amen.
Right. He made us in His image. He made a man and a woman together in marriage to be together, and they have children. And they're either a boy or a girl, and God planned that before they were ever conceived. And so God has a plan for every one of us as individuals, And we not only need to accept his plan, but we need to research his plan and learn more of what is it that the Lord desires to use me for and through in the relationship that I can have with him and with others. And so these things that are confusing in our land today is something that we as parents need to help our children to be able to navigate through. And I pray that us as parents are not confused ourselves in any of these things, to be led astray by those that call evil good and good evil. We need to be clear. It has been said that America is great because America is good. And I believe that's one of the reasons why God has blessed this country over the many years is because America has been following his laws. But if we fall away from that, I believe the blessings will fall away as well. Amen. And so keep that in mind and understand, as Christians today, we shouldn't be ashamed to be called an American. Amen. We ought to be excited about and very pleased with the way that our country handles itself as we have. And even though today there are decisions that are made and there are things that are done that we cannot rejoice with, because God does not, we still have a blessed country, and we ought to be unashamed to say that we are an American. Secondly, I want us to look in that not only the Statue of Liberty, but the Cross of Liberty that the second verse of that song said about. Some might not think that the cross and the Lord Jesus Christ produces liberty. But that's what this passage says here in Romans chapter 8 and verse 2. It says, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death." We have been made free. What is the law of sin and death? Well, the law came that we may recognize sin. And the law came not only to recognize sin, but to reveal to us our need for a Savior. And so it was the law that was given to draw us unto the remedy of our sin, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He is the one that liberates us from the bondage of sin. He's the one that liberates us from what we could never have accomplished ourselves. Nobody can live good enough to fulfill God's law. Nobody has ever fulfilled God's law except for Jesus Christ. Amen. He came to fulfill, and he did. We have the righteousness of Jesus Christ seen in his complete obedience to the law. And when we trust the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, he not only forgives us of all of our sin, but he also instates into our life there his righteousness. And we have then the righteousness of Christ, the one that fulfilled every area of the law. We have that righteousness on our account. That's the only reason why any of us would be worthy to go to God's heaven. Jesus Christ did it all. And so we have a freedom, a liberty that we have gotten through our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 17 says it this way, "Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." And then we have in Galatians 5:1, "Stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." That referring to the law, trying to keep that ourselves. We are free from the liberty. We are having been given liberty from the bondage of sin. And that law is what we know sin because of what the law says. So Jesus came to give us that liberty. He testified himself of that purpose in coming to give us liberty. In Luke chapter 4 verse 18 and following, I read this. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord," this is the Lord Jesus speaking here. He's in the synagogue, and he stood up here to read. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me," and this is a quote out of Isaiah 61, The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering the sight of the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And it says that he closed the book then. There was more that followed that, but this is what he came the first time to do. He closed the book then, and he gave it again unto the minister, and he sat down, and the eyes of all them were upon that were in the synagogue were fastened upon him. And he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. He had come to do that exactly. And so Jesus Christ came to set at liberty those that were bound in sin, bound because of their sinful nature. And we have that purpose of him coming into the world. Over in John chapter 8, in verses 31 and following, we have another statement that the Lord gives. In verse 31, we read, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you what?
Free.
The truth shall make you free. Then answered him, there are some there that said, we be Abraham's seed. And we're Jews there, he's talking about. We be Abraham's seed, and we're never in bondage. Well, they didn't really know their history too well. Never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? And Jesus answered them, verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, whosoever commits sin is the servant of sin. Whosoever commits sin, we're bound in bondage to sin. Verse 36, he said, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Jesus Christ came to give us that freedom from the bondage of sin. Golgotha, that cross there on Calvary, is a cross of liberty to give us freedom. To all who believe, the song said there, and all who kneel there live forever. The two words I want to emphasize, the first one is kneel. What does that mean, to kneel there? Well, it means primarily to come to the Lord Jesus Christ, receiving what he did there as our payment of sin. It's that salvation. It's a surrender to what Jesus Christ did. It's an admitting of that I am a sinner, and I realize that Jesus Christ died to pay for my sin debt. Because my sin debt, according to Scripture, the wages of my sin is death. Not just physical death, but being separated from God in a place called hell in the lake of fire for all eternity. I must pay for that sin. But Jesus Christ came and paid the debt for me. He was my substitute on the cross. And when he paid that debt, he paid it completely. Every sin that I've ever committed, every sin that I will ever commit, is under the blood of the cross. It doesn't mean it's lighthearted that I should take it and then I can just go out, doesn't matter how I live, because it's all paid for. No. No heart like that, I believe, is genuinely saved. But when we realize what Jesus Christ had to do, we make a choice then to receive what he did. Kneel at the cross. Come to him for with faith, saving faith, to receive what he did for us. And it says the other word there is all. All who kneel there. You know, the cross and Jesus Christ's payment of sin is available to all, to anyone. Romans 10, verse 13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter how long you've been sinning. It doesn't matter how bad you think your sin is. None of those things matter. Jesus said it's available to all, to anyone. Whosoever will by faith kneel at the cross there will come and submit, saying, Lord, I am the sinner. I deserved hell, but I thank you that you died for my sin, and right now I receive what you did on Calvary to be my payment of sin. That's the only thing salvation is, a choice to receive Jesus Christ. John 1:14, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, the children of God, even to them that believe on his name. We must believe, but we must receive. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. What do you do with a gift when it's offered to you? You should receive it. And that's what salvation is. It's making a choice to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. We need to make sure we've made that choice. Calvary's cross is our cross of liberty. It's our liberty that we have in Jesus Christ. Just as our national liberty did not come cheap, our spiritual liberty did not come cheap either. Amen. God the Father gave his only begotten Son, John 3:16 tells us. Jesus Christ gave his very life on Calvary. Not only that, he had humbled himself and confined himself to a human body. It's hard for us to imagine because we cannot imagine what God is like. We only know what it's like to be confined to a human body. But God did that for us. God the Son confined himself to a human body. He humbled himself not only to a human body to be a man, but he humbled himself to be a servant of a man. And he humbled himself further to die, but not just any death. He humbled himself to die on a cross. And he did that for us, to pay for that sin debt. We praise the Lord for that liberty. It did not come cheap. It was a great cost. So the song says, I'm so glad to be called a Christian. And I hope that's true to each one of you. On the cross is our statue of liberty. It is that we celebrate even today. But just don't know that, but understand the application of this freedoms that we enjoy. First of all, don't take national liberty for granted. We sometimes so easily do. We don't think about what we have to enjoy. That statement that I gave you earlier continues where it says, America is great because America is good. It went on to say, the day America ceases to be good, America will cease to be great. And it's important for us to understand that. Our liberty that we enjoy as a nation is under attack. It's not guaranteed to continue. And it needs for us today to be willing to make the sacrifices and live in such a way that will continue to help provide and produce the liberties, maintain that liberty in our country today. It seems that we're getting closer and closer, as I said, with our nation and so many calling evil good and good evil. We're getting to the point where marriage and the home is under attack and people are confused about all the things that is going on, and we would think, why the confusion? But Satan is the author of that confusion. Amen. He is one that wants to deceive. He is one that wants to lead astray, and he is loving it right now. As believers, we need to understand a particular truth. God calls us not only the light of the world, but he calls us the salt of the earth. Salt, one of the main responsibilities or characteristics of salt is that it is a preservative. It preserves. As believers, being the salt of the earth, we are left here to preserve righteousness. We're given our responsibility to be here and live a life in such a way that we can hinder the wickedness from just overtaking this world. Now, granted, it is coming. But what would it be like if we weren't here? Well, the scripture tells us. Over in 2 Thessalonians in chapter 2, in this passage, it's talking about and getting ready to reveal the coming of the Antichrist. And it says in verses 7 and 8, it says, "For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming." Revelation 19:20 records when that will take place at the second coming of Christ. It's the Antichrist that he will be destroying there with his mouth and casting him into the pit. And we have then this words letteth and let. It's just the old English word that means to hinder. He that now hinders will continue to hinder until he be taken out of the way. Who is this he? It's the Holy Spirit of God. Now, the Holy Spirit is not going to be taken out of the way in the sense he won't be on the earth anymore. But it's talking about his hindering work. And it happens as we as believers at salvation are indwelled by the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God living in the believer, and the believer living by the principles of God's word, is the salt of the earth that preserves righteousness, that holds back wickedness. But when the rapture takes place and the believers are taken off of this planet into God's presence, then the Holy Spirit, through the work of the believers as the salt of the earth, is going to be removed all at one time. Then that wicked, capital W, will be revealed. That Antichrist will be revealed. And it's like thinking about taking up a dam out of the way and just the flood of water that comes rushing into that spot. That's what's going to take place at that point. But until then, we as believers ought to be the salt of the earth. We ought to be living by the principles of God's word to the point that we are a hindrance to wickedness, that we are preserving righteousness in the land. We are taking a stand. We're speaking out for God's principles. And that's important for us to understand. Don't take our national liberty for granted. When we become apathetic, indifferent toward living in the Christian life, we are not doing anything as the salt of the earth. And we've got to recognize our responsibility. Not only do we not to take the national liberty for granted, but we're not to take our spiritual liberty for granted. I'm not talking about our religious liberty right now, but even though that we may be losing quicker than we would like, but liberty from the bondage of sin. Christ has made us free, has set us free. There's two aspects of it I want you to understand very quickly. First is negative. In the negative aspect, if we neglect our liberty, it's the same as not having any liberty. I've used the example before about a dog that's been chained to his doghouse for years. And he runs out, he knows how far he can go, and he's got it all worn out there. But if you take him off that chain, some of those dogs, as long as they've been on the chain there, they don't take advantage of their liberty. They just come right out to the same little spot, and that's all they go. The same as us if we neglect the liberty that Jesus Christ has given us. If we neglect the liberty, it's like not having any liberty. It's like being on the chain still. And we need to recognize that we must not neglect our liberty. We must seek to live by the Holy Spirit's power and experience God's liberty that he has given us. It's not a liberty to do as we please, but it's a liberty to do as he pleases. Amen. It's a liberty to do what we should. And we need to understand that liberty that he has given us in Christ. The apathy toward liberty can bring God's judgment in our lives. God speaks of this apathy to Israel in Zephaniah chapter 1 and verse 12. And I remind you of this verse. It says, "And it shall come to pass at that time that I will search Jerusalem with candles, and will punish the men that are settled on their leaves, that say in their heart, the Lord will not do good, neither will he do evil." The Lord's not going to do anything. I mean, I don't have to live like that. I can live like I've been living. God's not doing anything to me. He's not going to do good. He's not going to do evil. It's just what it is. What a mentality to have. It talks about men being settled on their leaves. What does that mean? It's kind of like the dregs. I like orange juice that's got a little bit of pulp in it. And in that orange juice that's got pulp, when I get ready to drink it, you know, you look, all the pulp's down at the bottom. So you have to shake it up a little bit. Well, that pulp being on the bottom when it sits in the refrigerator and nothing's bothering that jug, that's kind of like the lees that have settled. Those Christians that are settled, those Christians that God is not, they're not letting God to stir them up. God wants to stir our fire embers. He wants to revive our desire to live for Him. He wants to shake up our life instead of just being satisfied with where we are. And I think that describes it. I put down these words, satisfied spiritually to be no more than you are right now. Is that you? Is your goal spiritually for next year to be no more than you are right now? How many of you arrived spiritually at God's goal for you? Not a hand should go up unless you're ignorant. The Apostle Paul said, I have not yet apprehended what God has planned for me, what the Lord has planned for me. I haven't made it yet. I haven't arrived spiritually. I press toward the mark. I'm always going toward that goal that He has for me, Christ-likeness. But you know, none of us should be satisfied to stay the way we are. We ought to be saying, Lord, help me to grow into the next stage, into the next step. We are to be becoming more and more like Jesus Christ from one stage of glory to the next. And not being satisfied with what we've got right now. It takes a desire to get rid of the apathy that we have in our life and say, Lord, I want to be more for You. I want You to be more in control of me through Your Holy Spirit. That desire. In a positive way then, that we are live in the light of the spiritual liberty that God has given us. A liberty from the freedom from the power of sin, a freedom from the presence of sin eventually as we're in His presence. But it's a freedom that we can have from worry. How many of y'all need a freedom from worry? God can give us a freedom from worry. Freedom from the fear of the unknown. Do y'all have any fears? All of us face it from time to time. Fear of the unknown, but we are to trust the God who knows what's ahead. A fear of what if? Have you ever get in those conversations? Lord, what if this happens? What if the test comes back cancerous? What if, we can what if ourselves to death? God is in control of everything that takes place in our life. And He has your best in mind. Well, then I'll never get cancer, right? No, sometimes having cancer, He knows it's what's best for you in some way. Or He wouldn't allow it. And so we need to recognize we have a fear of the what if, but God is in control. We have a fear of the future. What's going to happen? The interest rate's going to continue to rise. Am I going to lose my job? Am I my 401k going to dissolve? Is a fear of the future. But remember who holds the future. As the song said, He's the same one that holds our hand. He's the one that's promised, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He is the one that's right there with us. So we're not to take our national liberty for granted, and we're certainly not to take our spiritual liberty for granted. So I'm going to ask you this, and I'm going to have you to bow your heads right now. No one looking around. But is the cross your Statue of Liberty? What am I asking? I'm asking, do you know for sure that you have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Is the cross your Statue of Liberty? Have you received the liberty from the bondage of sin because you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior? If you know that you have made that choice, can I see your hand real quick? Just put it up there for us. Thank you. Put it back down. If you're here today and you say, Pastor, I couldn't raise my hand honestly right then. I don't know for sure that I have made that choice. Would you pray for me? I'll be glad to do that. I'm not going to call you out by name. I'm not going to point you out in any way. But if you would like for me just to be in prayer for you about making sure of your choice of Jesus Christ as your Savior, would you put your hand up very quickly right now? Anyone at all? For those of you that the cross is your Statue of Liberty, you have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, could I say, don't just say it. Demonstrate it with your life before others. Ask the Lord to help you to be the salt of the earth that He wants you to be. Let me tell you something about God. He will help you to do what He wants you to do. He will help you to be what He wants you to be. He's not against you. He's right there for you. Will you ask God to help you to be and to do of His good pleasure? Father, I pray that as we close this service right now, as we look forward to being able to observe the Lord's Supper here in just a moment, I pray that you would help us to evaluate our own heart to make sure that there's nothing between us and you, that we would make sure that we're living and will continue to live in a way that we could be the salt of the earth. Lord, help us where we have fallen short. By your Spirit's power, may you encourage our hearts today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.